Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
First things first, the Suns are rising. Was DeAndre Ayton's value the play of the postseason?
Ooh, value. I saw what you did there.
You saw that? Eastern Finals are a go tonight. Trey versus Giannis. Who you got? It's rhetorical. Don't answer quite yet. And Scottie Pippen with some criticism of Kevin Durant after the Nets' second round exit. Is the critique warranted? Good Wednesday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Jenna Wolf, Nick Wright, Brandon Marshall, Kevin Watts.
Brandon,
today is National we jumped the gun. It is National Hydration Day. I was going to ask how you're celebrating, but we put the punchline in front of the joke. Yeah, that's what we did. Yeah. We did it the right way.
Let's start. A lot of minutes being played in the playoffs. Hydrate. We got guys playing 50 minutes in the playoff game. Gotta hydrate.
Gotta start with last night's Clippers Suns, game two. Here we go, 10 seconds left. Devin Booker gets his pocket picked by Pat Beverly. They slow it down, way down. Replay goes the Clippers' way, so they get the ball. Paul George fouled right away. He's at the line, up by one. And misses the first, despite coming in making 89% from the line. Then, no. Misses the second. Paul George missing 5 free throws last night. So here we go. Under a second left to play. Jay Crowder on the inbounds. Finds DeAndre Ayton for the go-ahead alley-oop. It's an incredible finish. Less than a second left to play. And with that, the Phoenix Suns jump out to a 2-0 series lead. Here was the hero, DeAndre Ayton, after the win.
Best play of your life?
Yes. Yeah, the celebration and the reaction was a little shaky because I wasn't too sure what I did. You know, I wasn't too sure if it counted. I didn't want to, you know, be a blooper or none of that. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to, you know, just get to the next play or the refs hurt and, you know, confirm what it is. You know, I was just so anxious. I was really stressed. You know, it was a lot. You know, I'm looking at the fans. I'm looking at the environment. It was a lot, but, you know, that was my best play and, you know, tried to embrace it.
I'm always confident at the free throw line. I've always been very successful in clutch moments at the free throw line. Tonight, I was just unsuccessful, extending the lead. So I'm not going to put too much on that. Fact of the matter is we still were in position to win the ball game late in the game.
Okay, Brandon, there's a lot to unpack here. I'm going to start with you. Yeah. What do you make of the final 90 seconds of last night's game?
Well, first, you got to go to the obvious. Absolutely devastated for Paul George. Playoff P went into playoff P, meaning he's been performing lights out the last couple games. He's been carrying his team since Kawhi went down. And then all of a sudden, you get in the biggest moment of your career, probably, and you missed 2 free throws. He's right. Look it up. The dude has been sensational from the line his entire career and in the biggest moments. And you miss back-to-back free throws to win the game and tie the series up? That's what you got to start with. Look, the whole game for him wasn't a good game. Now, he's played well this series so far. He played, well, the first game, and then last series played phenomenal, stood up when Kawhi went down. But if you really look at that game, he didn't play well. Three-pointers wasn't falling, and even from the field, he just wasn't efficient. And then there was times, Nick, Wilds, if you check it out, I don't know if it's fatigue, but he was dribbling the ball off his leg. I mean, he just looked sloppy at times. Yep. There's times in the biggest moments where coach had to take him out because he was just fatigued or he just wasn't playing well. But in the final moments, he scored 9 of the last 13 for the Clippers. But then he missed the free throws. Ayton, Coach Monty Williams, it was almost as if, you know, they knew CP3 was there. That was like a CP3 play. Crowder had an amazing inbound pass. Ayton was phenomenal. Ayton was able to get the ball and tap it in. And Ayton's been great, man. The last time we saw someone playing as efficient as Ayton was back in 2009 with Dwight Howard, 20 points, 10 rebounds. He did that 5 times in these playoffs. The last person to do that was Dwight Howard. So you got to give a lot of respect to Monty Williams and the Suns for just fighting through the adversity. Nick, I know you may have stronger feelings, but at the end of the day, that was a great game, man. That was a really good game. Listen, from start to finish.
It was an amazing game, and it's great to have Brandon back, and I missed him yesterday, and it's unfortunate that Brandon, in his reintroduction to the audience, is that here's what Brandon just did. Hey, do you guys remember the movie Dark Knight Rises? There's the fake football game, Hines Ward's on the field, and Bane blows up the stadium. Brandon was asked his biggest takeaway from that game. He's like, well, there was a third down conversion in the second quarter. And it's like, dude, the stadium blew up. What happened last night in the NBA was the entire instant replay paradigm blew up in the NBA's face, and it must change immediately. First, if people didn't stay up to watch, the final 90 seconds took 33 minutes. And I am not complaining about that because I had somewhere to go. I didn't. I was in my house watching the game, playing online poker. The game could have gone as long as it wanted, didn't care. But what did we learn about NBA games in Game 7 Bucks-Nets? You know what really matters? Fatigue and conditioning. And you know what totally changes that paradigm? A free 30 minutes of rest. But that's not the biggest issue. On the inbounds play that Brandon is talking about, giving Monty Williams massive credit for, that happened after another needless replay, which gave the Suns a free timeout they didn't have. But that, there's no way that play happens if it's just ball out of bounds, inbound it, Crowder figure it out. It's because they got a free timeout thanks to the scourge that is instant replay. But that isn't the biggest issue. The biggest issue is the play we keep showing. Because Kevin Wilds, for the entirety of basketball history, that is not a close call. That is not a questionable call. That is an obvious call out of bounds on Beverly. And for the entirety of basketball present at every level, whether it's at Rucker Park, the Y, House of Athlete, Gonzaga, or your local high school, that's off the defensive player. And I'll go further. For all of NBA games right now, for the first 46 minutes, that's not a close or controversial call. That is off the defensive player. But through the misapplication of technology, we are turning the end of NBA games into Zeno's paradox, which is, well, if you walk halfway and halfway and halfway, how do you ever get there? Well, if he hit it out of bounds, but technically in the final second, it rolls off a guy's pinky, which we can only see because of frame by frame technology. Who's it off of? You got to get it right. Wilds, that isn't getting it right. That is getting it wrong. And something needs to be fixed now. Like, not in the offseason. Today, before Eastern Conference Finals Game 1, whatever rule you need to change to make this off Beverly needs to change, and the whole replay system needs to be thrown in the damn river and overhauled. Because it's a disaster. It's a total disaster across all sports but tennis.
Okay. So, Nick, first of all, Great use of a prop. I never knew you had a basketball sitting by your side. I thought Brandon was the only guy with the football. You did an excellent job breaking it out. Been on the show for about 2 years. Didn't know you had the basketball there. Here's the problem. And it's pretty simple, because I agree with you in spirit. If we're playing one-on-one and that happens, that's out on the defensive player. I want it to be out on Beverly, but it literally wasn't. So unless you're going to throw replay away 100% or make these non-reviewable, once it goes to the review, the referees have a responsibility to call it the right way. And I know we're talking frame by frame. And if you get down and look at this and look at an atom from, Devin Booker's pinky touched an atom from, the basketball. The counter argument to that is, and I'm with you in spirit, but the counter argument to that is this. Patrick Beverley made a great play. They weren't going to review it. Patrick Beverley knew it was out on Devin Booker. Petitioned the refs to say, you got to check that. That was out on book. And he got it right. So, look, Patrick Beverley made some great plays. Right. This was very smart. I think if he didn't petition the refs, they wouldn't have reviewed it. So I don't know what the answer is. The only answer I have is this, Nick, to try to sort of meet you halfway. Because they're not going to get rid of replay. So we're just yelling at the clouds. There's too much. There's betting involved. The stakes are too high. They're never going to get rid of replay. The only solution I have is this. Would you be okay if you only could review replay at full speed? That's the only happy medium I can find.
No, wow.
That's a
no.
Sell.
Go ahead, Nick.
No.
I'm trying to come up with a solution.
You can't put stipulations around replay. That's what replay's for. You want to be able to slow it down, speed it up. You want to be able to see different angles. Please, Nick, you have to decide. You sound like me every time we talk football and there's some young guy doing some type of dance. You're like, oh, Brandon, the old man Brandon. Are you an archivist? Are you the historian on the show? Or are you want to be this young, innovative broadcaster? Like, you have to decide, because this right here is good for basketball.
Okay, just like the Calvin Johnson catch was not good for football, just like when they added in baseball, let's replay stolen bases. Sounds great. We'll see if he beat the tag. Oh, he did beat the tag. But it turns out for a millisecond after beating the tag, when he's standing up, he came off the base by this much. Now he's out. That's not out. Calvin Johnson's was a catch, and this is out on Beverly. Whoa. You're doing the same thing, Wilds, with respect Scott Van Pelt did, and I yelled at him via DM last night as well. This is not getting it right. This is getting it wrong.
The basketball gods may have gotten it right at the end of the day.
The basketball gods may have gotten it right. But to your point, Wilds, here's how you want it. Replay was created, Jenna, to correct egregious mistakes. You can see an egregious mistake in real time in 10 seconds. Put the Giannis free throw clock on replay, show it in real time, and let's keep going. Because it is bad for the game. However you feel about it,
the Clippers find themselves after that loss. Remember, they were down 0-2 to Dallas, down 0-2 to Utah. Now they're down 0-2 again. We'll have much more on this game still to come. We got to shift to the East. We got a little Trey versus Giannis tonight. Which star will shine the brightest? To be discussed next. First things first.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hawks, game one. Tonight from Milwaukee, Giannis versus Trey. Trey led the Hawks to a big upset of the Sixers in round two. Giannis and company beat the injury-riddled Nets in an upset of their own. So, Brandon, the Hawks' chances of upsetting the Milwaukee Bucks are blank.
We missed an opportunity to talk about this team in the regular season. This is coach-dependent. We're talking about a team that no longer have Lloyd Pierce. Lloyd Pierce, 3 years there, a whopping 63 wins, 120 losses. He was fired in March. Nate McMillan took over in early March, and since then, they've been 35-15, including the playoffs, an 8-4 record in the playoffs. So for me, this is totally coach dependent. I don't know what happened with Nate McMillan back in 2000 in Seattle, then in Portland, and then in Indiana. Never was a winner, but it seems to me that he may be taking, you know, going to another level and catching a second breath as a coach, because this is just absolutely phenomenal what he's done, and nobody talked about him in a regular season. So it's coach dependent, Nick.
So I think your Nate McMillan focus has been well-founded the last few weeks, and he's obviously done a great job. Trey's done a great job. But to me, I said Grizzlies Spurs 2011. That was when the 8-seed Grizzlies upset a basically healthy, I think Manu got dinged during the series, a basically healthy 61-win Spurs team in round one. To me, Wilds, this would be the biggest upset in the playoffs since then. If the Hawks beat a healthy Bucks team, DiVincenzo notwithstanding, right after the Bucks came off that war with Brooklyn, it would be the most shocking upset in the playoffs in a decade. So that's where I went. Grizzlies, Spurs, 2011.
So I said Bogdan dependent. Bogdan's going to be a game time decision with his knee. He lit up the Bucks, and remember, he had all that drama like, oh, you traded me to the Bucks. I don't want to go to the Bucks. I want to go to the Hawks. So it's a nice little storyline. But if his knee is not right, I don't think the Hawks are going to have enough firepower to hang with Milwaukee. And believe it or not, I know I sound like a broken record here. I am still waiting for the breakout Milwaukee decides to hit their threes at their normal pace that they did in the regular season. It hasn't happened. They still haven't lost at home, but I'm still waiting for that big offensive outpouring. So still, I don't think the Hawks have enough firepower if Bogdan can't go, Jenna.
All right, let's talk some Sixers. GM Daryl Morey has heard all the backlash about how his team once again fell short of a conference finals appearance, about Ben Simmons' struggles, about all of it. And yet he's still far more optimistic than most. Take a listen.
A lot of what I'm reading, I frankly don't understand. You know, people saying the Sixers are in a bad situation. You know, I don't choose to come here. Doc doesn't choose to come here if this is a bad situation. I mean, really 25 or 26 teams in this league would love to be in our situation with an MVP caliber top player, an all-star, a near all-star, great young players who are signed for the long term, good veterans. So we've got a good foundation. We just have to do better. I have to do better. Everyone has to do better.
I have to do better also. Brandon, Daryl Morey's comments are blank.
Jenna, this could potentially be lowering the bar. But look, I was driving with my kids and my wife the other day, and they were on YouTube and they saw something. And I just turned around. I had to stop the car. I'm like, look, guys, I'm teaching you something. Here's the number one lesson in life. Believe none of what you hear, none of what you read, and half of what you see. Like, you never know what these people are actually believe what they're saying. Like, you never know, because this it's a big business. Now, as a player and as a fan, you want your teams to win now. Daryl Morey coming out and saying this could potentially be lowering the bar, because look, there's no LeBron James in the East no more. You could easily take a run at this thing year after year after year. Obviously, you have the Nets there, but there's no reason why you are sitting at home right now with the team that you have. So as a player and as a fan, you're looking at right now. But if you're Daryl Morey, Daryl Morey's like, look, I do have Embiid. Embiid, the most dominant player in the NBA today. And what does the next 3-5 years look like? Can we potentially get to Ben Simmons and get a breakthrough? Or can we move him and bring in a piece that may fit better with Joel Embiid? So, yeah, like, who knows, right? Because he is a general manager. He's running this team. You don't know what he's thinking at the end of the day. Lowering the bar, maybe.
So here's a couple things. One is massive plot twist in Brandon's anecdote. Ooh. Because I thought old man Brandon was going to say, I was in the car with my kids and they were on that old YouTube. And I was like, if you don't get that racket down there, I'm going to turn this car around right now. But that's not what happened. So it's a big plot twist. That's first of all. Second of all, I think this is 100% accurate by Daryl. He's right that 25 or 26 teams would love to be the Sixers. That doesn't change the fact that the Sixers blew a golden opportunity. And bonus take, Wilds, and this, I have not talked to Daryl.
Bonus take.
Much like Daryl is a legitimate friend of mine, Wilds. I know you love that. But I haven't talked to him.
Here we go.
I think everyone is more convinced they are trading Ben Simmons than the Sixers are. I don't think it is in Daryl's history to trade a guy at his low point value-wise. So I think the Ben Simmons trade everyone's waiting for is only happening if they get a massive package in return. So all of these things kind of piled into one. Most importantly, Brandon threatened to turn the car around on the kids. I don't care what he says.
I want to know what everybody was watching in that car, Brandon.
My answer was reasonable, Daryl. It's a very reasonable statement. I think it's spot on. That's not Daryl's actual name. His actual nickname is Trader Daryl. He made 70 some odd trades when he was with the Rockets. But I agree with Nick. Like, as you look around, it's hard to make a Ben Simmons trade work that makes the Sixers better. The answer might be to make Ben Simmons better. Now, does he stay there for the rest of his career? I don't know. But trading him at his low point, I don't think will work. Will he work with the Sixers? Will he go play for the Olympics? Doesn't look like it, although he should. Or will he go do his own thing, which I think is a bad idea? Hopefully he'll stay in the gym with someone from the Sixers organization. Oh, sorry, Daryl. Daryl kicked Nick off. Sorry, Daryl is legitimate friend. Daryl Morey got into the system.
Friends.
Out of there. I am trading Ben Simmons. So now we know, Jenna.
4 years, Wilds, we've been hearing about Ben Simmons getting better. Nick's had enough of it. Time for Weird and Wonderful. Stay in Philly. Check out Bryce Harper. Great last name. Taking Max Scherzer deep in the second inning yesterday. Check Scherzer again. Second deck deep. It's pretty wonderful. Wilds, what else you got for us?
Oh, we'll start with the weird. Diamondbacks at Brewers. Bottom of the first. Starting pitcher Freddy Peralta gets his glove confiscated. Why? Is there sticky stuff on it? Nope. Because it's gray. Yup. The glove was deemed too light and I guess affected the ball. He's like, yeah, it's a gray glove. Sorry, you got to go use your other gloves. Like, huh? You can't use gray gloves? Sorry. So if you got a gray glove at home, you got to return it to Modell's. Either way, it didn't work. Peralta goes six inning, gives up one hit, 10 strikeouts, zero earned runs, gets the win with his backup glove. Moving on to the wonderful Red Sox Rays, tied at 5, top of the 8th. Rafael Devers, routine fly ball. Devers, sorry, oh my goodness. Routine fly ball, guess where it hits? On the catwalk. off the catwalk. He turned a fly ball into a double off the catwalk. All right, moving on to the weird. We're back to Milwaukee. Top of the eight, Christian Yelich goes what I call suburban yard with a lovely above-ground pool. Brewers tied with the Cubs. They end up winning. They're tied with the Cubs for first in the AL Central, but lead in home runs into a pool. So there you go. That's the weird and wonderful from the National pastime. Get it, buddy.
Look who's back.
Nick, what happened to...
Hey, welcome back.
Nick, what happened to the guy that we said we are going to talk about every time we do Wild's Weird and Wonderful? We haven't seen him make an appearance in a couple
Wild's
of weeks.
What's his name again? La Tortuga.
Yeah,
Wild has decided he doesn't make the cut anymore. It's disappointing, and I've seen the advanced analytics of the show. This segment's ratings plummeting since La Tortuga's been gone.
Maybe that's on Tortuga. Gotta talk about number seven, Kevin Durant. Scottie Pippen's got some critique of the Nets star after their early exit. Fair or foul? We'll tell you next. This is First Things First.
I'm going to shock the audience
here,
Jenna.
We missed you. Hawks, Bucks, Eastern Conference Finals Game 1 featured on the free-to-play Fox Bet Super 6 app. Download the app, answer six questions about tonight's game for your shot to win $1,000. Easy money.
ATL shouty.
Said the girl who never played. Hey, can we talk about Kevin Durant, please? KD came awfully close to willing his Brooklyn team to the Eastern Conference Finals by himself. But ultimately, we know what happened. His Nets came up just short. A disappointing finish to a season many thought, including Brandon, would end with a title. As a result, Hall of Famer Scottie Pippen not buying KD as the best player in the world. Take a listen.
Surpassing LeBron James takes a little bit more than an individual's effort. LeBron James is a complete team player who understands team and winning. Has KD gotten to that level yet? He went home.
He's got two championships and two finals MVPs, right?
But to say that he's surpassed LeBron, I think he still has some learning to do in terms of what it takes to will a team to victory.
All right, Nick, what'd you make of what Scottie Pippen had to say to our buddy Vinny Goodwill?
All right, and shout out to Vinny. Great job by him as always. So listen, I still believe LeBron's the best player in the world. I am going to give him the benefit of the doubt that what we saw in these playoffs was due to injury, because the last time we saw him deal with injury, we've seen him deal with three injuries in his career. In 2015, when he went back to Cleveland, he hurt his knee, missed a few weeks, came back and was bar none the best player in basketball. In 2019, he tore his groin. When he came back, he was a shell of himself. The next year was clearly the best player in basketball. And this year, before the injury, I thought he was the best player in basketball. So I still believe LeBron is at the top of the mountain. But that's the only thing Pippen said that I agree with. I think this criticism of Durant is, to be polite, really stupid. It totally ignores the fact that you can do everything a basketball player can do in a given game at the highest possible level and still lose that game. And what it feels to me is this is eerily reminiscent of some of the absurd criticism we heard for LeBron after what I consider to be the second finest overall game he's ever played. Game one of the 2018 finals against the Warriors, when he went 51-8-8, but he had 49 at the end of regulation, only scored two in overtime after poor JR forgot the score and the time. And they were like, oh,
brutal.
LeBron couldn't close the deal. That was ridiculous. And criticizing Kevin Durant for what he did in overtime of Game 7, because he was 0-6 and totally spent, to me, Brandon, disregards how brilliant he was to get them to overtime, how brilliant he was to get them to a Game 7, and how he showed in Game 5 in particular because KD's never been the playmaker LeBron right. is, that he could get, if LeBron's a 10 out of 10 playmaker, KD got in game five to an 8.5 out of 10. It's pretty damn good. So I just think the idea of, KD didn't know how to win, I think it's ridiculous. So I don't think he's the best player in the world, but I think this criticism is silly.
Yeah, Nick, you know I like to go deep, and you know I always love to talk about the mindset. To me, it's not even about Scottie Pippen. It's about the position. It's hard to be de-goated. Like this whole conversation between LeBron and MJ, who's the GOAT? There's a lot of like amazing argument out there that says, and also the eye test that LeBron is the GOAT. Like you, right now, give me two things to make an argument for LeBron James being the GOAT. Really quick.
Longevity, versatility, playmaking, all better than Jordan. No question.
Great. And then you can also turn on the film and you can compare the games. You can be like, you know what? LeBron is that. But it's hard to be the GOAT. It takes a little bit more. So, Scottie Pippen, you're probably right on what you're saying. But we're talking about LeBron James and KD. LeBron James... we know we can compare the play on the court, but then it comes down to wins to win in championships. Wilds, when you're talking about becoming the best player on the planet, that's why all year I said, look, LeBron James is probably still the best player, but who's the most dominant player is Embiid. Now KD emerged in the playoffs, but there is a little bit to what Scottie is saying. Like to be de-goated, LeBron James being de-goated, it takes a little bit more, and it's going to be hard for people to really make up a compelling argument to say, you know what, he's right. You know, KD is that guy. Now what we saw there, he passed the eye test, was absolutely sensational and phenomenal from KD. So, you know, this is an interesting conversation all around.
So I'm going to try to make a little puzzle here. It's going to be a little bit of backwards reasoning, but stay with me. Nick, do you feel like KD wants more criticism for airballing the last shot and not scoring in overtime? The idea where there's this idea... sort of in the NBA media, that if that was LeBron, LeBron would have been hammered for that performance because we view LeBron on, you know, competing for like the GOAT title or the best player in the NBA. And the fact that we're not criticizing KD, maybe that means we don't hold him to as high a standard as we would LeBron. Right. Because I'm sure you can say that KD didn't, you know, I'm not criticizing KD. I thought they were an amazing special performance. But if LeBron did that, I think we would lead the show with, hey, shouldn't have LeBron scored 2 points in overtime? And we didn't really do that with KD.
Yes.
And is that because we don't hold KD to the high standard as we do LeBron?
Well, I think you're almost there. I think it's that we hold LeBron to a different standard than we have held any athlete in any sport in history. I think the vast majority of guys... after KD's, and not the vast majority, every NBA player in history, after the performance KD had in games 5, 6, and 7, would have gotten to skate on the overtime of game 7, except for LeBron. But what I find interesting about, you're talking about KD's mindset, I bet KD is actually more at peace with something that it's been reported and we know really bothered him, which was that after 2017, when he won the finals against LeBron, hit the shot on LeBron, that people were still saying, even though LeBron lost, that LeBron was better. That really bothered Durant. But now he's seeing why it was the case, because I think he understands, all right, I lost. I had the game-winning shot or game-tying shot hit on me by Giannis. But if anybody says Giannis is better than me, they're dumb. I bet he feels that way. I think he should probably feel that way. Even though I said Giannis could have a claim to best player alive, I think most people came out of the series saying Durant's better. So I think Durant is like he now experienced the best player on the court by far sometimes doesn't walk away the winner. And sometimes the guy on the losing team, people still like, well, Brandon, he's the better guy. He's the better player.
Yeah, well, look, Nick, I think it's wide open right now. I thought we saw the best of LeBron James, right? But doesn't mean he's not he's not a dominant player anymore. He won't go out there and compete for championships. But LeBron James is not in his prime anymore. He'll still go out there and compete at an extremely high level, Jenna. But at the end of the day, KD, if he continues to do what he's doing, what he did in the playoffs, in the Olympics, and then comes back in a regular season, stays healthy, throughout the playoffs, win a championship, he'll get that. Absolutely. He'll never catch LeBron as far as like that super, super, superstar status and be in that conversation who's the greatest player of all. But he may be able to hold that crown for 2 years, maybe 3 years when it comes to who's the best player today. Now, Jenna, I want to fanboy out a little bit. Ask me the question, who the best player is in the NBA. Let me fanboy out a little bit.
Oh.
Please ask me the question. Please. Help me out.
Oh, who is the best?
Oh, no. What happened? No, we got to ask Brandon.
But
Brandon's got an answer.
I had a whole prop.
We're back. We're asking. Who's the best player? We thought it might be Broussard's. We got to wait till Broussard's. Get your water. We got to wait an hour. Drink water. We got to do it. I got to hand out some NBA playoff medals.
Devin Booker, 20 points last night.
Oh my goodness,
Brandon Marshall, one question left unanswered. Oh, Booker turned it over 7 times. Brandon turned it over 1 time. That's okay. Suns got the win. Brandon didn't. No medal for Book or Brandon. Nick, which 3 guys did it better last night?
America, 9:14 a.m. Eastern, set alarms. Brandon's going to answer that question. Bronze medal,
nice.
Jay Crowder. You might say Jay Crowder. He was 0-for-2 with two points, 0-for-3. Yeah, but he made this pass. What a pass. You get a bronze, Jay Crowder. Silver medal, Cam Payne.
I love this.
It's election season here in New York City, but that's the man's actual name. Cameron Payne.
Wow.
How about the first time you've ever scored 29 in an NBA game? Come in a 1-point Western Conference Finals victory. And then, of course, the gold medal. Oh, DeAndre Ayton. What a story. What a playoff run. Shooting 72% for the postseason. Last night, 24-14 on 80%. And an epic all-time game-winning dunk. Brandon, there it is. There are your medals from last night's Clippers-Suns game.
Nick, you have so many different charts and so many different graphics out there. I think you have like the best of the NBA under 25 or 30. Could you potentially see Payne joining that list? I don't know where if he's on there already, but can you potentially see him joining that list?
Well, I couldn't. It was 6 weeks ago, and 36 weeks ago, my man was playing overseas. So I'm going to have to recalibrate a lot of things based on what I've seen from Cam Payne. I'll get back to you on that in 73 days. Give me time. I got to look. Jenna, I was not prepared for that, to be totally honest. I need time.
Great basketball. Hey, Wilds, who just missed the cut?
Patrick Beverley had some of the most brilliant basketball plays I've ever seen last night. And you gotta be like, hold on, what? He's drawing fouls? He drew this foul by falling down and he forced the refs to stop the game and look at it. It ends up being an offensive foul on Book. It's a smart, smart play. He later campaigns for the refs to look at the out-of-bounds play that he was right on. Look, the Clippers lost, but Patrick Beverley had a solely unique and brilliant performance affecting not only the game, the players, but also the officials. It was brilliant. So you just missed the cut. If I had a medal, I would give it to
you. That's exactly what my 7-year-old does, Harper, which is why I always get Quinn in trouble. She does the exact same thing as Patrick Beverley. It just dawned on me. Paul George trending towards a gold medal.
Harper can shoot about as well as him, too.
Those in clutch time. I knew that was coming. Do the Clippers have any chance to come back from being down 0-2 yet again? We'll have that for you next. First things first. Harper! Tonight on FS1, the biggest soccer tournament of the year continues with group stage play. Brazil takes on Colombia, 8 Eastern on FS1 in the Fox Sports app. All right, here we go. Let's talk about it. Last night's Clippers-Suns, game 2. 10 seconds left to play. Devin Booker gets his pocket picked by Pat Beverley. They go to replay. They slow it down. So far down, the replay says Clippers ball. Ooh. So they get the ball. Paul George fouled right away. He's at the line, up by one. Misses the first free throw. He came in making 89% from the line in the postseason, misses the second one. He missed five free throws last night. Under a second left to play, Jay Crowder on the inbounds finds DeAndre Ayton. Less than a second left, gets it to go. An incredible finish, and the Phoenix Suns jump out to a 2-0 series lead as that series now shifts to LA. Brandon, what do you make of the final 90 seconds of last night's game?
I mean, just phenomenal. But you got to go right to the biggest topic, and that's Paul George. Playoff P turned into Playoff P when Kawhi went down. We asked him to stand up and deliver, and he did that. Back-to-back games, 30-plus points. And then in this series, the first game, they were right there. And now in the biggest moment of your career, probably, where you've been sensational from free throw, 85% your entire career, and in the biggest moments, you missed two free throws. Like, that is devastating for someone who did so much from the bubble to this point to get his career back on track, because the narrative has been Playoff P is Playoff P, Pandemic P. Come on, man. That is the biggest storyline here. This was probably the most competitive game throughout the entire playoffs from start to finish. Now, obviously, KD, the Game 7 stuff, those were some great games. But I'm talking about from the tip to the last whistle, it was a really good game. And even down the stretch, Paul George even stood up, and he had nine of the Clippers' last 13 points. So this was a phenomenal game. And then you got Ayton, and that was a phenomenal scheme, and they drew it up perfectly. Monty Williams, it was almost as if CP3 was there. That was a pass that you would typically see CP3 make. So for Crowder to stand up and deliver that type of pass, that inbounds pass, was sensational. So there was so much to go around. There's so much to talk about. But if you're an NBA fan, that was a game where you're like, you know what? I absolutely enjoyed it, and I loved it, Nick.
Yeah, I apologize for the look on my face right now, but I'm
what's
I'm
wrong, buddy? What's wrong?
What happened last night?
What are you reliving?
And
what?
I'm so frustrated by what technology is doing to an otherwise beautiful sport. And we've seen this across all my favorite sports. Baseball, it's like, hey, let's add instant replay so when guys steal bases, we can see if they got there in time. Sounds amazing. How could it go wrong? Well, I'll tell you how it can go wrong. When guys beat the tag, but then it turns out when guys get up from beating the tag, there's a millisecond where they're actually not touching the base. And now they're out. And people are like, oh, that's getting it right. No, it's not. And then in football, they're like, oh, remember when Vinny Testaverde, the stupid ref, thought that his helmet was a football? So they gave him a touchdown when he was 2 yards short? Let's fix it. They're like, oh, yeah, what could go wrong? And then it's that Calvin Johnson makes a game-winning touchdown catch while he's getting up to hand the ball to the ref. Instant replay comes around and says, oh, no, 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 sir. I know that's always been a catch. Turns out it's not. And now here
that
it
was
is
a catch. That
biting
was a catch.
Away at basketball. We've seen it in times where refs like, did a guy get fouled? I think he got fouled, but I'm just going to call it out of bounds on the defender so as to keep the game going. No, review it. And on the review, you see, oh, the guy definitely got fouled, but that's not reviewable, but the out of bounds is, so now the defense gets the ball. And now the worst of the worst is this, where you need an electron microscope to see the fact that, yes, evidently, we have been calling out of bounds on blocks and dislodges wrong forever. If this is right, then every level of basketball has gotten it wrong forever. Because the physics have always been, if I'm holding the ball and you slap it straight down out of my hands or knock it out of my hands, it is going to technically at the very end roll off my pinky or my ring finger, whatever. And for some reason, people now think this is getting it right. They now think that this should be Clippers ball when anyone that's ever played knows it's not. And by the way, they think that Wilds, in the pursuit of getting it right, we should totally ignore that fatigue matters and there were 31 minutes of stoppages in the final 90 seconds, and play design matters. Monty Williams hadn't saved a timeout to draw up the brilliant play to Ayton. He was given one because of a different review. Burn it all down. Either scotch the replay system entirely, or simply say it is only there to correct grievous errors, massive mistakes. This is not that. That is out of bounds on Beverly. Everyone knows it's out of bounds on Beverly. And anyone arguing otherwise is, quite frankly, out of their damn minds.
What? Okay, I understand, and I'm with you to a point. Because the spirit of the game, that would usually be out on Beverly. But you don't need an electronic microscope. We don't need to examine the atoms of the basketball in Devin Booker's hand. You know what we need to do? Give credit to Patrick Beverly for not only making a great play, and he also petitioned the ref to look at it. Patrick Beverly knew it was off of Devin Booker immediately. He starts clapping. He goes over to the ref, says, hey, you got to check this out, and they got the ball back. So, Nick, the one thing that you are 100% right about is I don't think you can have limitless time to check this out. If you want to have the happy medium of you don't get limitless time, but we're also not going to take it away, if you say, hey, you know what, 30 seconds, even a minute, because I think your fatigue factor is very fair. You get 1 minute. If you can't figure it out after 1 minute, then the call stands as it is on the floor. But you can't get rid of it,
Brandon,
because by the letter of the law, it was right. It was off of Devin Booker. And if you're going to go to replay, they're going to see it. The problem is, even if it was 30 seconds, as soon as you saw this, you knew it was Clippers ball. So, Brandon, I don't know what you do other than just limit it, but that still should have been Clippers ball, and Patrick Beverly deserves credit for making a great play.
Right. Well, I mean, here's the thing, Nick. I love your passion, and there's a lot of validity behind what you're saying because so much of sports comes down to strategy and coaching. And so if you get extra time, you can manipulate the system. But, buddy, I feel like you went too far because, like, let's look at KD, right? Like KD, game seven, that three-pointer. Well, it was a two, but what if they called it a three? There's so much on the line. Like, you need replay.
That would have been...
Your way...
Right. Okay, so if you want to keep it for egregious mistakes, the KD thing, it would have taken 10 seconds, and you could see it in real time. You wouldn't need this super slow-mo frame by frame. So save it for that. This is bad for the game. I'm about to go have coffee with Jeff Van Gundy, and we're going to whine about it some more. That's the plan.
See you tomorrow.